sure this is working. I wanted the kids to come up and share what they've been doing today. So if you can see them all here. All right, y'all just, I know, don't be shy. All right, so Connor, I'll let you speak since you're used to speaking on the mic. What have y'all been doing today?
We've been making these. And okay. Yesterday we made these.
Okay, and so what is that, the hat, what does that represent?
The Holy Spirit of God.
Okay. And then show us what you have with the straw there. What does that represent?
This is God shooting the Holy Spirit at everyone.
It's a flame coming from your mouth. Okay, go ahead and show them that. All right, you want to show them, Colin? Show them yours? No? Okay. All right, so thank you very much. Y'all can go back. I just wanted to let everybody see the kids and see what they are doing. And reason is that seeing what they were doing yesterday and had planned, God inspired me to change the message because of that. Because of the flames of fire. And so we're gonna look at that today. You know, this day of Pentecost that God has given us. John 14. If you look at John 14, and we'll look at verse 23. John 14:23 says, Jesus answered and said to them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the Father which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. So here we have a promise that Christ gives us that he's going to make, Christ and the Father, they're going to make their home in God's people. So this is very important for us today on this day of Pentecost, because this is the day when that became a reality, where God made his home in his people. And this is a very important promise. This is an important promise, as we'll see, and it's very much tied to the flames that we're going to talk about, and the flames, and the speaking in different languages, the speaking in those languages. Let's look at Joel chapter 2. I'm going to go up here. I'll let them adjust. All right, so Joel chapter 2. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. And your young men shall see visions. Now this Joel is what is being quoted in Acts chapter 2. And this key right here is that God's Spirit will be poured out on all flesh in that day. And when that happens, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. And your young men shall see visions. And so God's Holy Spirit is given knowledge, will be given knowledge to the people. Drew this prophesying, drew these dreams, drew these visions. Revealed knowledge comes from God's Holy Spirit. And verse 29, and also, O my men servants and O my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. And these signs that these are, you know, we look at these as end time signs. These are signs where wonders were shown, right? When Christ was walking on this earth, He showed many wonders. He raised the dead. He performed miracles. He cast out demons. When he was being crucified, the sky became dark. The sky became dark. And some people believe that because of that, the moon would have appeared as blood at that point because of how the light would reflect. We don't know, but there were signs when Christ was there. There will be signs at the return. It says, before the coming and great, awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So here we have two things, the wonders and signs. God's Spirit performs miracles, right? Through Christ, he was a human being. He divested himself of eternity and became a human being, but through the Spirit of God, performed miracles, signs and wonders. The New Testament church performed signs and wonders and miracles. And then the last, he says, and whosoever call on the Lord shall be saved. Would God's Spirit come salvation? Come salvation. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. So we have the three things that it's very important for us today that we really get a focus on this and think about these things. These three things that was represented in the flames on that day of Pentecost. That prophecy, he says, it's being fulfilled today. And I will tell you, that prophecy is being fulfilled in us, in God's people. Knowledge, miracles, and salvation. In Acts chapter 2, verse 32. Acts 2, verse 32. Peter says, this Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear, the visual of the of, you know, and I try to look at the words and try to figure out how it is, but it's, you know, it's tongues of fire. There's fire that was in the presence they're in, and they're speaking the words of God in all the languages of everyone who is around, speaking boldly of the kingdom of God. Let's go to verse 36. It says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And now when they heard this, you know, when the crowds heard this and they heard these words being preached, not just from Peter, but from all the ones there, drew the Spirit with the power of God. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as our Lord God will call. The gift of the Spirit. Given to the church, given to us. And so why do we have the Spirit? Why is he given this to us? What is the reason? Do we receive the Spirit and do nothing? Or do we receive the Spirit for a purpose? Did God have a purpose for giving the Spirit of God to his church? Well, the first one we see in that prophecy, you know, dreaming dreams, prophesying. This is revealed knowledge. This is knowledge that only can come through God's Spirit. Right. Knowledge that can only come through God's Spirit, God gives to us. John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise them up at the last day. So, and this was touched on yesterday, but our very calling, the fact that we're here, has nothing to do really with us. We're not smarter than the folks next door or down the hall or anything, right? God opened our minds with the Spirit to the truths that are in His Word. And it's a miracle, and I mean, that's a big miracle that you can only explain to someone if you've actually experienced that miracle where God just opens your mind and you're like, whoa, this truth is right there. Revealed knowledge from the Spirit. We can read of revealed knowledge in Exodus 35. In Exodus 35, we read of preparations to build the temple. In Exodus 35, and this is very important. And this is why we are receiving the Spirit, because we're temple builders. We're temple builders. Verse 30 of Exodus 35 tells us, saying, Moses said to the children of Israel, see, the Lord has called his name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled them with the Spirit of God. Right? This man was filled with the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that they received on the day of Pentecost, the same Spirit. If we have been baptized and have laid on hands, the same Spirit we have in us today. This Spirit of God. It says, fill them with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. Right? Revealed knowledge. To design artistic works. To work in gold and silver and bronze. In cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of artistic workmanship. God, through His Spirit, gives gifts. And not only these spiritual gifts, they are artistic gifts. They're gifts to build, right? He needs to build these things for the church. Like Joel has a gift of singing. And that gift, that comes from God. God gave him a gift that revealed gift of God for the purpose of praising God, the purpose of building His church. And he says, and he has put into the heart the ability to teach. And he has put in his heart the ability to teach in him. And Eliab, the son of Azamach, of the tribe of Dan, he has filled them with skill to do all manner of work of the engraver and designer and tapestry maker in blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine linen, and of the weaver, those who do every work, and those who design artistic works. So the Spirit of God was working in these men to not only be artistic, to have the skills to build this temple, but to train others to build the temple. To be able not only to have that knowledge, but take that knowledge and give it to others for the glory of God of this temple. So we see an example of God's Spirit. And God's Spirit, when I say God's Spirit, we understand God's Spirit is the Father, right? Like we read, the Father and Christ living in us, dwelling with us, the Father and Christ. And they impart wisdom and understanding to build that temple. And does God do that today? And are we just reading that and say, oh, that was nice that he gave those people the ability to build a temple? But what is God doing today? Does God want his temple built today in the church? So where is God's temple? I mean, I ask, where is God's temple?
In us.
Yeah, here, right. We are God's temple. We are God's temple. And God gives us the skills to build this temple. Right? 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? So we are the temple individually, right? Individually we have God's Spirit, and collectively, together, we are that temple of God's church. So does God give us the knowledge, the ability, the creativity that we saw here in both of the musical numbers that we saw, the creativity to present, to come up with things for the children to do in crafts, the creativity that we have, we all work together to build this church. I know God has given me some skills, and I try to do it the best I can, whatever skills I have, and try to teach others those skills. Because these are the gifts of God. Colossians 1 talks about this. And this revealed knowledge, and these are something, right, like the things that God has like helped me do, like I don't know where it comes from, except God, because it doesn't come from inside me. It comes from God's Spirit giving us these things for his purpose. And if we don't use it for that purpose, I don't think it lasts very long. Colossians 1, verse 9. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in knowledge of God. So God gives us knowledge. He gives us teachers in the church. And as teachers, we have to teach others these things. We have to prevent false teachings, which happens quite a bit. We have to prevent the false teachings. We have to focus on the truth of God, that God has given the knowledge through his Spirit to us. Strengthen with all might, right? We're increasing the knowledge of God. It says, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power, the power in us, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. So why do we need to build this temple? Why did God give us the Holy Spirit and this knowledge? Because God gives it to all of us. With the current plan, Jesus is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And with this knowledge, we understand that no man can stand between us and Christ. So we have to be careful when I talk about false knowledge, because there's false knowledge out there that people try, even in God's church, will spread false knowledge and not rely on the revealed knowledge that comes from God's Spirit. And they'll say, oh, God told me this, or God told me that. And I can look in the Bible and say, nope. God, because this does not go with what God says, right? We have to understand that God has a plan and a purpose, and we are to build a temple, because we are temple builders. Romans 12, and verse 4. 12 and verse 4 says, for as many members in one body, right, we have many members, and I guess each of us, when we have hands laid upon us, God gives us different skills, different things that he needs from us to build the temple, whatever that is. But all the members do not have the same function, right? You know, we can't, not everybody can't be carvers. We all be carving stuff in the corner and look at all the carving. No, we all have to. We have to do different things. We can all be singers. We have to. You know, we all have different abilities that work together. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let us use them. Right? If prophecy, let us prophesy. And that's just inspired speaking. That's just, and again. In proportion to our faith. And, you know, prophesy is just the ability to understand God's word and to apply it to situations in this world. Not necessarily predicting what's going to happen in the Middle East, but I can say that if you continue to live a life of sin, you're going to live a miserable life. Because I can prophesy about that and say, because I know God lays out conditions, right? It's just like mothers. I know that mothers, when mothers tell you to do something, right? I know my mom would tell me, don't do this or you'll get hurt, right? She's prophesying. She's saying that if you do this, and one thing I remember doing is that I had set up, there was a hill near where I lived, and you ever see like roller coasters? I like roller coasters when I was a kid. So I was like 5 or 6. I love roller coasters. And there was, I had this, used to be like a, one of them things that keeps you from falling out of the bed, the little things, rail, a little rail or whatever. So I pulled that out, and I set it on the little gully that goes along the road, and I set it down there. I said, that's going to stop me, like the roller coaster stops with the brakes. And I put it at the very bottom, and Mom said, you don't need to do that. And so I just ignored her, made sure she wasn't paying attention. I still put it out there. I got on a tricycle on the very top of the hill and went flying, you know, going down that hill in the little gully. And I said, I'm going to hit that just like a roller coaster. It's going to stop. It's going to be great. And I hit it, and it stopped. But I didn't stop. Like, I kept flying. I kept flying, and the prophecy came true. I hit my face, and I busted my face open. So again, the gift of prophecy is the gift to know, to have the knowledge of God's word, and to be able to apply that in the situations in our lives. And there's, some of us are better than others. I can say, you know, you need to stop, you know, this right here, or it can lead to this. And we all know people who can do those things. So the prophecy, verse 6, having the gifts differing according to grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, right, administration, let us administer. If it's teaching, exhorting. He who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. These are different gifts that work together to build the temple. To build the temple. Because we are the temple. The gifts that God has revealed to us. So here on this day of Pentecost, let's go back to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And then there appeared to them, verse 3, Acts chapter 2, verse 3, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. So of all the ones in that room, and I'm trying to visualize this, I'm sure whatever I'm visualizing is nowhere near what happened. But these tongues of fire, and this tongue is the same word used later where it says they gave them tongues. So it's languages, this language of fire. This or it looks like a tongue, looks like, you know, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So like with the little straw we saw earlier, you know, the straw and the fire comes out of the mouth, right? Fire. If you look in the end times and we look at the two witnesses, and it says the witnesses can devour their enemies, right? Fire comes out of their mouth to devour, you know, to destroy their enemies. Is that, you know, figurative, or is that, you know, the word of God? So why fire? Why on this day of Pentecost did God use fire amongst the disciples present? Fire to give them utterance to speak the wonderful words of the kingdom of God. Why fire? Let's go to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Verse 1. Exodus 3, verse 1. So Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And then verse 2 it says, in Exodus 3, verse 2, it says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. All right, so again, we have another image of fire. Now, this angel is appearing as fire in a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire. The bush was not consumed. It was a miraculous fire. And Moses said, I will not turn aside and see this great sight. Why does this bush not burn? In verse 4, so when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of the Father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So the place you stand is holy ground. So why fire? And when we look at fire, we see this evidence of fire. We see that fire represents, in Scripture, we see the immediate presence of God. Right? God is there. He says, this is holy ground. You're in the presence of God. Take off your shoes because you're before God. The presence was there. We see in the pillar of fire, right? The pillar of fire that was with Israel that led them through the wilderness above the tabernacle. The direct presence of God was there in this fire. We see examples with Elisha. We see fire coming down from heaven and burning up a sacrifice covered with water. We see fire coming down and consuming like 50 men. When the fire comes down from heaven, this is the direct presence of God. So on the day of Pentecost, the flames of fire above everyone's head, and as they are speaking fire, right? Fire, not only the fire above them, the fire is in them, right? The expression, they are on fire. The fire was in them, and they were speaking the words of God. The revealed words of God from heaven. Acts chapter 2, verse 11. Right, they all heard these words in their own languages. And it says, Acts 2, verse 11 says, we hear them speaking in our own languages, in our own tongues, the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what could this mean? God's church was on fire. God's church was on fire. Burning and burning bright on that day of Pentecost. Because God was there. His presence was there in his temple. We need to build the temple of God. Build the temple of God. Because with God's Spirit, we get that revealed knowledge. Also, God's Spirit gives the church, gives us miracles. Miracles. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. Many signs and wonders. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, yet none of them the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Why are so many people responding to the message? It's the same message we have. Right? We have this message. But they were on fire. And when they brought the sick out in the streets and laid them on beds and couches, verse 15, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Miracles. And a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities of Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. God performs miracles in his church, and he performs them now. Right? Who's experienced a miracle from God in his church? All right? So I can talk about my miracles, the healing of cancer that's been so many years, I don't even remember how long it's been, almost 20 years, right? God performs miracles. God heals. God gives us things we would not even deserve in the church. He expects us to perform miracles. Matthew 17:20, right? Because the Spirit of God not only gives us knowledge, but gives us the power to perform miracles. Matthew 17:20. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for you know they weren't able to cast out the unclean spirits. He says, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Now, again, he's not just saying that we're just randomly going to start growing mountains into the sea, because that would just, there'd be all kind of chaos, you know, right? If we start growing mountains into the sea. But I mean, again, this is figurative. He's saying that we can move mountains. That is saying that nothing is impossible for the church of God. Nothing's impossible for the church of God. And the miracles may not be, they may not come supernaturally. He uses us to perform miracles. God uses his people to perform miracles, to do these things. So are we on fire for God? So we need God's Spirit to give us that knowledge. We need God's Spirit for these miracles. And we also need God's Spirit for salvation. Right? That's kind of the three things that are covered with God's Spirit. And we do teach correctly that salvation is a gift of God that comes from faith in Jesus Christ. But we do not teach that all you have to do is accept Jesus and then do nothing. Right? Because that makes no sense. Because what happens to someone who says, well, I accept Jesus, right? I accept Jesus, but you do not let him change your life. Right? Well, so what happens if you say, I accept Jesus, but you do not let him change your life? Is that person saved who says, I accept Jesus, but I will not let him change my life? Because their sins will continue, and so will the messed up lives. Right? Because not only are we forgiven from our sins, we need to be saved from our sins. Right? Because the Holy Spirit, right? Because we have that, that's, you know, it's good to be forgiven, but we need to be saved. We have to be saved from our sins. And sins have consequences. Right? It's estimated that 16 million adults in the United States, and this is the old statistics I have here, actually, within the past year, half of the people in the United States suffered from depression last year because of the pandemic. We have millions, right? We have 30, 40, 50 million people that live in poverty. And poverty, don't let anybody fool you, poverty is directly related to sin. The reason people live in poverty is because of sin. Whether their sin or someone else's, but sin leads to poverty. More than half of marriages end in divorce or separation. And then we have alcohol and drug use widespread in our nation. We have addictions to pornography in our nation that is out of control, that affects even the church. Even the church. And so what happens to a person that says, I accept Jesus, but you do not let him change your life? Is that person saved? Because sins destroy lives. But there is a solution. There is a solution. Salvation by Jesus Christ through his Spirit. Because we can change our life. We can be emotionally stable. We can have joy. And we can have it abundantly in our life. Galatians 5. Right, this is the salvation, the work of salvation, right, that was prophesied in Joel that will happens to us. Us, the temple builders, we're building this temple. We should be on fire. We're waiting for Christ to come. And when he comes, everyone will experience salvation. They can be saved from their sins, the effects of their sins. I say, verse 16 of Galatians 5. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. So you do not do the things that you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Right? And he says in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts, a lot of bad stuff here. Selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries. And if any of this is in your life, you are living a miserable life. You are a captive to sin, and you need salvation from that sin. And as I told you before in times past, that those who practice such things, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit. See, the fruit of the Spirit is salvation. The fruit of the Spirit is our salvation. We are being saved from our sins. Love, right? Love saves us from hate. Joy saves us from depression and misery. Peace saves us from strife. Long-suffering saves us. Kindness saves us from unkindness. And goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, against such there is no law. So as building the temple, as those who just imagine the flames of fire in this room, right? I want to imagine, like, look around, imagine us, there's flames of fire above each of our heads. Right? Imagine that on this day of Pentecost like it was there. Because if you have the Holy Spirit, the flame of fire is above your head. The flame of fire is in you. And we need to be on fire to build this temple. Because we need love. We need the church more than ever. We need peace. We need that stability. We need all these things that we read here. You will have salvation in your life through Christ and the Holy Spirit. Because you have been chosen, right? Everyone in here, you've been chosen to be kings and priests in that kingdom. And we have to develop these characteristics. We have to have salvation today. We have to be saved. We can't be in those sins. We have to be saved from those sins. And those who are Christ, verse 24, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let's be on fire, right? Let's be on fire as we build this temple. We are the temple of God. The presence of God is here. The fire of God is with us. Just like it was on that first Pentecost, the first of the church on that Pentecost day. So let's be on fire that God works miracles, and he can work miracles through you. And he won't work miracles through you. Let him prove it through you. And let's be on fire with the salvation for us and for the world that God has for us. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heaven and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls.